We're going to talk AI and what they're calling an AI tax, which is leading to huge price increases across the world. Here to tell us more is Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com. So, Fevzi, let's talk about this AI tax first. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, it occurred to me because yesterday, again, we had another product go up in price. This time it's something called a Stream Deck, which is a handheld gaming console. It's a piece of consumer technology, highly sought after. It's just gone up 46% overnight from US prices, $649 to $949, quite literally overnight.
Wow.
We've seen increase in prices of, you know, PlayStations, but it's not just gaming consoles. It's everything that uses a chip, pretty much. Laptops, all sorts of devices that we use are going up in price. You know, even Apple, which is, legendary for its supply chain contracts that allow it to keep stable pricing, has been putting up prices, and we've seen prices go up, 20-30%, not just with Apple, but Dell and HP and Lenovo, and all these companies are having to put up their prices because they're having to pay more for this memory, and in particular, what's called HBM, high bandwidth memory. And it doesn't just affect things, because it's affecting the price of computer servers. And although we talk about services, being in the cloud, they're not in the cloud. They're in a data center running on servers that now cost 25, 30, 40% more. And this is the beginning of the problem. It's been described as a J curve, and we're sort of in the dippy part of the J.
I'm just imagining the J. What? So you go down and then you start going up. What? And then it just goes on up forever.
I've been looking into this and talking to people who know more about this than I do. Whether this is just a temporary, supply and demand glitch and it will all return to normal and, new manufacturing is being brought online and, it'll go away in 2 years. It's not clear that that will happen, because the demand will probably not go. Even if there is the AI bubble that bursts, the governments of the world are the customers of last resort, because they view AI as a national security issue. And we've seen Donald Trump recently talking about how he's not going to do anything to hold back American AI because it's essential to their national security. And in fact, I, on that very rare occasion that I praised Donald Trump, because they brought in, or they announced that they were going to make all the AI companies submit their new models for assessment, safety assessment, before releasing to the public. Literally hours before that was about to go into force, Donald Trump changed his mind and said, no, we're not going to do that because we can't afford to fall behind the Chinese.
AI is that important. So just explain, for people who aren't following it, exactly why AI is causing all these prices to go up then? What is it about AI?
So ostensibly it's because these AI companies are building huge data centers. These are just giant warehouses full of rack upon rack upon rack of computers. And that's what, generates the answers when you ask ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity a question. And it uses about, even the simple answer uses about 10 times more compute than a standard Google search, just to give you an idea. And that's a basic, if you do a bit of deep research, you can be talking hundreds or even thousands of times, and these tools have that ability. And I say ostensibly it's for that reason, because the head of Google has admitted, essentially, in an interview that they've now bought more chips than they've got the electricity to plug into. So the limiting factor has ceased to be the chips so much as the electricity to run them. So they've got chips, and they're still buying. They're doing these devilishly powerful contracts where they're buying up around 70% plus of the world's manufacturing capability. And there's only three companies that produce serious amounts of these HBM high bandwidth memory chips. So they've bought up most of the supply. And what they're also doing, I believe, is that they're buying it to stop their competitors being able to buy it. They're trying to win by edging out the competitors, because if they can't buy the chips, then they won't be able to compete,
right,
assuming that the power station... But this is having huge effects, you know. It means that not only are we paying more for our computer devices, and that's, you know, everything, but we consume products and services by companies who have to buy computers. The cost of cloud storage and cloud processing is going up, so all these web-based services. So, you know, like your bank, for example, uses all these web-based services, and they're all going up in price. A lot of those increases haven't come across yet. We haven't seen the electricity price increases come through yet, but that will come. The data centres in London now are using about two-thirds more electricity than all the households put together. I mean, it's absolutely huge.
Yeah, I'm sure. I read something about, I think it was in the States, where they were asking people, or telling them, they had to use less electricity, switch off their aircon, I think, because the data centres were using it all.
Yeah, at the same time that they're increasing global warming, with being told to switch off your air. I mean, aircon's always been that slightly difficult thing, that you run your aircon, it causes more global warming, so you run your aircon. That's not a good spiral to be on. But we are seeing these huge increases. And I note also that, do you remember we spoke, I don't know if you remember this, but last September when Donald Trump was here on a state visit, and he came with the heads of various AI companies, OpenAI and Oracle and so forth, all the tech bros came over here, and the UK government made this big announcement about Project Stargate UK, where they were going to, the US was going to, these companies were going to invest $31 billion.
Yes,
in data centers in the north, and nuclear power stations and all the rest of it.
Well, how's that going?
Well, just they've just pulled all that funding because, and I think I said to you at the time, there are strings attached to this money. No one is giving us $31 billion out of the kindness of their hearts. They want something back. And what they wanted back was regulatory freedom. So, for example, for us to weaken our copyright rules so that they could scrape all our data with impunity. They just wanted to be able to have also the cost of electricity subsidised for them, because they're using huge... And they're saying, no, it's too expensive. Your electricity is too expensive. Well, I don't think our electricity is that much more expensive than it was last September. It is a bit, but the fact is that this was leverage. It was always leverage. It was always pie in the sky, frankly. And now we see it. And it's really, really dangerous. I mean, there's parts of West London, housing developments have been reported to have been paused because data centres have maxed out the local power capacity. That's been reported. I think we're at the beginning of this. We're going to see an AI backlash. I hope, people won't be turning to violence, but I am reminded of the Luddites who went and smashed up the looms during the Industrial Revolution. People are getting pretty angry about this because the cost of living is increasing, not just if you want to buy a computer. It's not about that. It's everything depends upon this technology, and it's all going up in price, and there's no... It's not the only reason, but, you know, obviously we've got, you know, wars going on and other things. But this is not a blip. I believe that this will be part of the landscape for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think we're going to be talking about this. Certainly, again, it's going to be a big issue. We just got time as well to mention a gadget. And I like the look of this. It's a CD player.
You don't see many of these anymore, and I really like this. So it's a company called FIO. I've been looking at some of their products recently, FIIO. It's a portable CD player called a DM15, and it's not much bigger than a CD. Imagine you sort of stack three CD cases on top of each other. That's about the size of it, you know, the width, depth and height, something like that. But it's really, really good, and... you know, if I got one of these as a present for Father's Day, not that I'm a father, but if anyone's offering, I will gratefully accept one of these because they're quite...
I'm just looking at the picture. And is it one that you carry about with you, or do you plug it into your computer or into an amp, or how does it work?
All of those. So it's portable. It's got a built-in rechargeable battery. So you'll get about 7 hours use of it, I've been averaging. It's got a glass, tempered glass lid, and it flips, you manually flip it up. You put the CD inside. It's got a nice little display at the front. There's a number of things to say about this. All CD players have a circuit in them called a DAC, digital to analog converter. And it is this that often makes CDs sound brittle. You know, people often like vinyl because they say the sound is too clinical, it's sterile, it's brittle. This is what's called an R2R DAC. And an R2R DAC a few years ago would have cost you about £2,000. They were hugely expensive, very difficult to build. What you really need to know about it is that it produces this really warm sound, which a lot of people have compared to the sound of vinyl, analog. Not that because it's got clicks and pops, but it's got that warmth and soundstage to it. And it's really difficult to build and has been really expensive. And this company, FIO, I mean, they've done a remarkable job with it. So there is that. So that's the first thing. It's got a desktop mode, so you can plug it in and you can bypass the built-in battery. You know, the problem with a lot of portable devices is you leave them permanently plugged in, you kill the battery, you know, with the best will in the world and with all the battery management. But this thing completely bypasses the battery when you hit the switch. The next thing is, it doesn't just make your CD sound warm and high quality. You can plug any USB sound source into it. So let's say your laptop. So any of the music or any of the sound that you're playing back can benefit from this. It's got two types of headphone output, one of which is extremely high quality, something that audiophiles would normally be into. It's got a different type of connector on it. So it's got a headphone amplifier built into it, which would normally cost you maybe one of this quality would be like a couple of £100. The DAC, as a standalone DAC, would cost you that on its own. And it has the ability, you can plug in a memory, USB-C memory stick, and you can rip the CDs as you're playing them. That's to say, you can make a digital copy of the CD. So if you want to, you know, upload it to your computer and use it in different ways, you can do that as well. Just all round a really nice machine. £249 is the list. Comes in black, red, silver and white. They're all very nice to look at. And I've just been really impressed with this. I wasn't really familiar with this company, FIO, until recently. It was more of an audiophile brand. You know, you can spend a lot of money on their stuff. But I've been really impressed with how this device does it for the money. So £249 is not cheap. But for what you're getting, it's quite remarkable. As I say, that DAC alone is probably worth £249 on its own. It's got balanced output, so you can make it part of your home hi-fi system. Comes with a remote control, and it's a good job it does because the buttons are too small. I have to say that. You know, I don't have particularly fat fingers, but I found myself using the remote control. But again, it makes it a really nice part of a home hi-fi unit, and then you can just take it around with you. It's got anti-skip circuitry built into it, so your CD won't be skipping all over the place when you know get on the tube or whatever it is. So I've given it four and a half stars out of five because it really gives you a very smooth analog type sound from a CD, and I think what it did for me is it made me go and get all my CDs out and play them again for the first time in so many years. So I was quite impressed with it.
Fantastic. Who'd have thought we'd be talking about CD players? Fevzi, thank you. Fevzi Turk out there, editor of GadgetDetective.com.